big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Bush and Richie here with your Daily Takeaway podcast. As you're about to hear on this show, I arrived back from my fact-finding tour of the Northeast, literally minutes before we go on air.
Fact-finding tour, I love this.
We're staying in a place called Colour Coats, absolutely gorgeous. You know, one of those places where you go for... Because my other half's from Alex, so, you know, there's family up there. But, you know, when you love a place so much in the UK that you end up looking in estate agent windows?
Yeah.
I'd love to move there. I'd actually love to move there. But anyway, we were adventuring around Tynemouth, another little bay place up there, which is lovely. And who did I bump into but another member of the Absolute Radio family, Emil from Weekend Early Breakfast.
It's so weird when that kind of thing happens. Just such a small world. It blows my mind.
Yeah, well, it's mad. He was just sat there with his mate outside the pub. They'd been to see Sam Fender for the Saturday night the night before. Had a little chat with him. We did a little photo. He made a couple of cheeky comments about me having one last look around St James's before Everton getting relegated, which I thought was a bit much for the weekend. But I wanted to put it out there. If you've bumped into... You know, sometimes you can go to the other side of the world and bump into someone that you used to work with or someone at the end of your street. If that's happened to you, hometime@absoluteradio.co.uk.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
Cheers for everyone who's got in touch saying the word cobs. It's good to see that there's a lot of other people sweating out there and it's not just us. Let us know your location as well so we can get an angle on just how hot it is today. In other news, my middle daughter, Thea, who's 4 years old, is now famous. She's very famous. That's pretty much it now. We're going to have to get her an agent because... she got her Octonauts drawing shown on CBeebies last week, which is an amazing thing. And she drew this picture. Octonauts is a kids' TV show on CBeebies. And we sent it in, and then we were watching, like, there's a bit in the day where they do all the gallery, pretty much. Her picture wasn't on. So I've been watching it for ages with her at set time every day, slagging other kids' artwork off. He's 15. You've seen the state of that. You did better than that, love. And we'd kind of given up on it. And then your little lad, Rocco, spotted it when we weren't concentrating.
It's an astonishing set of circumstances that he was watching CBeebies at home and then suddenly out of nowhere just shouts, Thea! Now, this is obviously after a week together, the two of them. It turns out that he actually had seen her on television with her picture. It was a beautiful moment.
So that's a gorgeous thing. Thea's absolutely over the moon about it. She does genuinely think she's famous, and the stars are the limit, the sky's the limit for her, which is true. You know, she's got her whole life ahead of her. But she's already gone one better than me because I was never on telly when I was a kid. The closest I come to being on TV when I was a kid was a lad in my year called Jeff Duggan got his question read out in a letter on The Really Wild Show. And he wrote in and asked, can kangaroos swim? And the way that, you know, he was famous in our year for getting that on, you know, Really Wild Show. I can never remember what the answer was, whether they can or not. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think they can because they've not got webbed feet, have they?
I know, but why did Jeff write in? There must be some kind of grey area around it for Jeff to pick up the pen
and write. Their pouch would flood.
Well, this is it. It's a bit like, you know, sometimes you get like water in the pockets of your swimming trunks.
You
have to empty them out when you get out. So, I don't know, first hour of this show tonight, if you were on telly when you were a kid in any capacity, get in touch. You ever been on TV?
Never as a kid. Envious of Thea. I mean, obviously, kids have been like doing drawings of TV characters and sending them into telly for years and years and years. But I've never known of anybody who actually got their drawing on telly. So, I always kind of thought it was just producers in the background with crayons.
Or a bit of nepotism. Getting friends and family involved as well. You know, there is that risk as well that, you know, if you have such fame at such an early age, where do you go from there? Do you know what I mean? Like Macaulay Culkin. But so look, if you've been on telly as a kid, in whatever capacity, even in the background of some kind of news bulletin or something like that, text us now and sing about it to the rest of the group. I was just saying earlier on, the closest I came is my friend Jeff Duggan wrote to The Really Wild Show to ask if kangaroos can swim, but we never knew what the answer was.
An update on that. Mark says all mammals can swim, so that includes kangaroos. And another one here says you should never enter the water if a kangaroo is in there. They will try to drown you because of their strength.
Have you seen a photo of a of a kangaroo flexing.
It's astonishing.
It is. They're like, it's like Jeff Capes. Karen says, top search on Google, can kangaroos swim? Answer is yes. That little message there is why I feel like a little bit of the magic's gone out of the world. Because Jeff wrote into the Really Wild Show for something that Karen's ruined in a couple of seconds. Lee says, I was there when the helicopter landed at St Hilda's College during an episode of Treasure Hunt featuring Annika Rice.
Legendary.
High praise.
Frank Boff, what a name from our childhoods. Holiday 87, says Matt. The days when there were holiday TV shows. Not such a thing these days.
Tim says, gents, I was on Songs of Praise with Ina Sharples. I did a Mary Berry cake mix advert, three episodes of Emmerdale, and my pièce de la résistance was to read a poem to camera in a Yorkshire TV special called, I kid you not, Frank Muir on Children. All before I was 15, and then reality kicked in. This is it. You have the fame too young, and it can be downhill from there. We've got Anne-Marie on the line. Tell us about your moment of fame when you were a kid, Anne-Marie.
Okay, so when I was about 14, some people decided to do this Listen to Des O'Connor records for charity.
And is that an endurance thing?
Yes, it was because, remember, like, there was a bit of a joke about, like, him being rubbish and all the rest of it, so... I think me and my mate just decided to do it so we didn't have to go out at lunchtime in the cold. So we sort of joined in with that. So anyway, his show, Des O'Connor Tonight, gets filmed on a Tuesday to go out on a Wednesday. So we got to go down in a minibus on the Tuesday night to ITV Studios and did this like live link up. So we were all like huddled like in this thing, and I made sure I was at the back, but you could see my head. And then he was sort of saying, you know, what a great thing you've done, like this for charity. And then he had to say, you know, I'll tell you what, as I'm here, I could sing a song for you now. And we just all had to run off screaming.
Oh, wow, I see. So he played along with the joke kind of thing, that you didn't want to hear any more of his songs.
He did, yeah. And, I mean, just thinking about it makes me sweat.
What good sport, so though, he is. Good sport, Des, for playing along with
a
it.
A great,
you know what I mean?
Sport. And not just appearing on television as a kid, but being crooned to by Des O'Connor. People would pay for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Has he got a lot of records? Like, in terms of sitting down and listening to these, how many... Has he been banging them out non-stop, has he, Des?
God, I mean, I can't remember. I mean, this was a long time ago.
How long did you listen to him for?
We just had to do it. I think it was, like, for a week in our lunch hour or something like that.
Hey, any teachers listening to this, you have to new detention ideas. Think the other ones don't work. Brilliant. Great to speak to you.
Definitely.
Claire says, Bush and Richie, I was on Crime Watch back in 1986. Our primary school was picked to make an advert as part of the Essex Police Christmas Crime Prevention Campaign to be aired on Crime Watch. About 8 of us got to take the day off on a school trip to Asda to shoot the advert.
Jamie's hanging on. What was your moment of stardom?
Yep, I was on the opening titles to Saint and Greasy in the 1989-90 season. I was in the Paxton at White Hart Lane celebrating one of Gaz's glorious goals in the 1980s.
Brilliant. So, I mean, what an iconic programme from when we were kids, Saint and Greasy. Absolutely used to love it. A brilliant, brilliant theme music and everything as well. What bit of you was in it then? Was it like you jumping around or just a little bit of you?
It was my right arm. I was stood on a milk crate, stood up by my dad, behind the goal, and yeah... It went in, and you could just see my arm. I recognised the jacket I was wearing back in the day, back in the 1980s when I was a kid, and I thought I was the coolest kid at school, but I may have that wrong. I don't know.
I mean, I was going to ask exactly how identifiable your right arm was, but if it was a particular jacket, then...
Well, what kind of jacket was this if you were the coolest kid in school?
It was a basketball jacket from the 1980s that I got my parents to buy me from one of the dodgy Sunday markets back in the day.
Wow, you must look like one of the kids from Sesame Street or something like that.
More like Oscar the Grouch, I reckon.
Final comment in then on when, you know, were you ever on telly when you were a kid? John says, my brother was on Rosie and Jim, two ragdolls on a narrowboat, but it never made him famous.
I remember that. I didn't remember there being guests on that.
Yeah, I don't remember there being any humans on it at all.
No, it was just the puppets.
Yeah, they came alive incredibly creepily on a narrowboat somewhere in the wilderness in the West Country.
Almost need more intel on that one. Please let us know.
I feel like he's reveling that his brother never really got anywhere from it. Do you know what I mean?
What nasty quality.
John, get back in touch, mate.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
I was in the northeast over the weekend watching Sam Fender at St James's Park.
I'm so jealous.
It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. It was very, very Newcastle. As an Evertonian, it's rare to go there and not have to leave early. But it was crazy. I felt like I was undercover because... You remember the bit in Police Academy where they went undercover to a biker meetup? Mm-hmm. I felt like that because everybody was in black and white stripes. And, you know, I kind of felt a bit jealous in that obviously... my club's going through like a turmoil at the moment, yeah. but it was a lovely moment for people of the North East, and fair play to Newcastle. They've had a long old haul in the wilderness, so it's great to see them back and everything as well. But I've never seen anything like it. It was almost like a Geordie Heaton Park.
Some of the social media pictures I've seen with like the fireworks at the end and all that kind of, it's incredible.
Fireworks, ticker tape. The main thing though is a two-pinter. I've never had a two-pinter before.
Two-pinter.
Have you ever had a two-pinter?
I've never had a two-pinter.
There were people walking around with two pinters of Guinness, like a waste paper bin full of Guinness.
I would be there with that for ages. Big it would go so warm.
Oh, it's a mess. I know. You think about how that would curdle later on in the evening. The weirdest thing is with a two-pinter, though, because it's so big, you drink it like the way a squirrel eats a nut, and I'm not entirely cool with it.
The Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
And my word, hasn't it been hot the last few days? I have to tell you this story, though, that I got told this morning about an hour into the working day.
Uh-huh.
So obviously it's still really hot today, been really hot over the weekend. Natalie got into work today, and she's an office manager and responsible for like looking after like the food in the office and that kind of stuff. All their chocolate and snacks over the weekend melted. All congealed and melted over the weekend.
So what, not put in a kind of cooler, chiller thing, or they're left in the wrong place? Human error?
I don't know exactly where they were left, but they weren't in a fridge. And I think that was the first thing she did, was go and put them into a fridge. So they've all sort of like melted back into strange shapes. But somebody had got like a bag of, you know, you get those like yoghurt-covered raisins?
Oh, yeah.
All those had melted into one giant ball of yogurty raisin, and apparently that was really nice.
It's just like what people feed birds on bird tables.
Exactly that.
Whatever that stuff's called.
But everywhere you go at the moment, things are melting. I was in Reading over the weekend, went round a roundabout, and you could hear underneath the car, you could hear the tarmac sliding as that was melting.
Yeah.
And it transported me back to a kid when I had a bright idea of taking my Sabutio outside during one of the summer holidays.
Yeah, yeah.
And playing Sabutio outside on the table on the patio, and left it out there in the sunshine. Oh. And my Arsenal away team all started to melt, and they all like sagged. And also, I'd taken the stand outside, and one of the roofs of my Sabutio stand started to just melt, and that's how it stayed forever. Even when I took it back up in the loft, one of the stands slightly melted.
It's like a little memory of that awful, fateful day.
Of the summer of 88 or whenever it was.
One other thing that's been going on with the hot weather today as well is, I don't know if anyone else has noticed this, but there's a certain plant or leaf out there, or like a tree, that's been like making the floor really sticky.
Yes!
Like some kind of like flypaper trap.
Yes!
It's kind of weird.
Had that as I walked to the station this morning. You looked at the pavement, it was as if it was raining underneath that tree. It wasn't. Pavement was a completely different colour because of sap.
But I walked through it, and then I was walking behind this businesswoman on the way to the tube station, and I felt like I was like some kind of like criminal from like a cartoon. Like the creature from the deep was following us. I'm so sorry, I almost got on my shoes.
The worst story you can share with us, that is about something melting, please. This is a horrendous story from Chris. You've got to weep for Chris here. An original Boba Fett figurine.
Oh dear.
Too close to the fire when I was a child, melted. Worth about £2,000 now.
Wow, that's a real 80s thing, that, isn't it? Is it? There's an undercurrent of spontaneous human combustion in there. Old fashioned Caligas heater. Look, my melting story is a weird one. My mum and dad used to run an old people's home down in Devon when I was a kid. So most of like the middle part of my teens and everything, and into my early 20s, we lived at an old people's home in Brixham. And one of the old ladies used to do this thing where she would wash her knickers in the sink and then leave them on the windowsill to dry. Okay. It's just how we rolled in this old people's home. But she would also do crosswords in her chair and everything. And one day, in the middle of a really hot summer, she left a magnifying glass that she used to do the crossword on top of her knickers in her window. And then, like something out of, the A-Team, sunlight went through the magnifying glass, set fire to her knickers. Whole middle level of the house went on fire.
No!
She was fine, saved by the fire brigade. We ended up on the TSW local news.
Wow!
So what about that for a melting story, if anyone can beat that? And it ties into earlier on about being a kid and being on telly.
It certainly does. Andy says, doing my cub cooking badge when I was younger, I had to make cheeseburgers. I never took the cheese slices out of their wrapper.
Well, they always say that kind of cheese tastes a bit plasticky. That takes it to the next level.
He says that he still passed the badge, though, which is interesting.
Different times back then, different times. This text says, I was never allowed to borrow my brother's action men as a kid. I was 9 years younger than my brother and didn't play with them anymore, but he still left them on top of his wardrobe, gathering dust. So I used to sneak into his room, take them down and play with them when he wasn't there. One particularly cold day, I was playing in front of the fan heater in my room again. This is like the 80s and 70s all over again. And I didn't realise, but I accidentally melted the back end of my brother's six-wheeled amphibious vehicle. Needless to say, I wasn't allowed to play with them ever again. But bless him.
Charlotte, tell us, what melted?
Yes, when we were younger, we went away on a family holiday, and my dad, in all his wisdom, decided that we'd go outside and we'd have a barbecue. It was one of the disposable barbecues you can get.
Mm-hmm.
And all sat down around the plastic table and chairs, and we thought he would put the barbecue onto the table and it melted straight through.
My God, he must be gone down in history as, like, you know, in the local fire station as being that guy that did that. He must have felt so stupid.
Yes, he's one of those people that would never admit it. He didn't find it very funny either, but we all find it quite funny. He wasn't very impressed though.
And in a rented property as well, it's not even yours.
I know, we spent my dad, my mum spent hours scraping it up off the floor, scrubbing the floor, trying to disguise it.
How do you disguise a table that's got a hole in the middle of it because some dad's trying to do a barbecue on top?
I know. It was a disaster, but he's got the gift of the gab, so he managed to talk his way out of it, thankfully.
Oh, wow. And is he partial to a barbecue anymore, or is he kind of just leaving them alone now because of that?
No, he leaves them alone now. He'll come round to my house for one, but no, he won't have any round his house.
Jenny says, I had a 12-inch Metallica 1 record. I kept my curtains closed in my bedroom as I had a bay window. My aunt had come round and thought I was being a goth teenager. Opened the curtains, melted the record onto my record player.
That's awful, isn't it?
It's terrible.
Especially if that was worth quite a bit going forwards as well. This person says, I grew up in South Africa. We had a coffee table in the lounge with a glass orb in a glass bowl on the table, set between two leather sofas. We all went out and forgot to close the curtains, returned home to an awful smell. On entering the lounge, we had a long burnt line across the sofa because the glass orb wasn't perfectly symmetrical, refracted the light, looked a bit like the outline of Table Mountain.
This is like a science lesson.
It's again light refraction, like the old people zone from earlier on.
Carl is hanging on. What melted, Carl?
So Mother put a Christmas pudding in the oven when I was a kid, and in a Tupperware bowl. And we're sitting there eating Christmas dinner, her thinking it's all going well, and it wasn't. Stand the house out and we all had to sit in the garden.
So you put the Tupperware bowl into the oven and it kind of burnt then, basically, essentially.
Of course it did, yeah, melted.
Don't say of course it did to me, you did it.
And then you said you then had to go and sit out in the garden on Christmas Day?
Yeah, because it stunk. The air stunk.
Are you? Have you ever had Christmas pudding since, Carl? Have you ventured towards actually making it again since that trauma?
Well, not an avid fan, to be honest.
Okay.
I can imagine it would scar.
Yeah, it would stay with you, that, wouldn't it? You all right, though, Carl? You okay, though, now, these days?
Yeah, with regard to Christmas pudding, yeah.
Okay, good luck. I'm just glad that you found peace.
Yeah, thanks.
That's still hot, still getting messages about people melting. Well, not necessarily people melting. That would be horrendous.
Spontaneous human combustion only happened in the 80s. For some reason, people stopped catching fire after that.
Well, I guess Andrew in Wrexham kind of has. He says, worst thing that melted for me was my trousers. I work at a bakery in a supermarket. A big hole appeared in my backside.
I'm thinking a lean towards an oven.
I really hope so, and that's not him melting the trousers himself just because he's so hot.
So damn hot. What a legend he must be in the workplace. Sam from Kent says, my size 12, had to get that in there, rubber-soled brown loafers melted when they left them out in a heatwave. They almost curled in on themselves like snail shells and were, he adds, completely unwearable. He had a go, though, didn't he? He had a go.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
Time for this.
Any other business.
We do generally find that a lot of listeners to the Daily Takeaway, you can't interact live, use the chance to interact on any other business with things that they've heard. A lot of people have been getting in touch after last week. We were talking about the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah, so a home-time listener got in touch, wanted to know what the going rate for his lad, who's like 7 or 8 years old, just his tooth come out. What's the going rate for the Tooth Fairy paying for it? Dan in Scarborough says, being an avid fan of the fantasy genre, this subject has tweaked my interest, so I decided to look it up. The exchange of teeth for money dates back to the Vikings, where children's teeth were believed to bring luck in battle. So they would pay for any teeth that fell out, with Vikings even making necklaces out of them. That's unbelievable. The earliest recorded actual cost of a tooth was from Chicago in 1908, where the cost was 5 cents. In other accounts, payment was the only offered for the first tooth to fall out. The notion of them building castles out of teeth, do you remember we had a listener phone in?
Yes.
And eerily say that they were the fairies were taking the teeth away to make buildings.
I remember this.
Like Doozers from Fraggle Rock. The notion of them building castles out of teeth is only in the TV version of Terry Pratchett's The Hogfather. I can't remember if it's mentioned in the book, but I like this idea. So the cost of the tooth is either 5 cents or whatever a Viking deems it to be worth to bring them luck in battle. That is a definitive answer.
Wow.
If ever you're going to get one. What about that? If you want to drop us an email, hometime@absoluteradio.co.uk.
The Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Bumping in for you at the end here.
Brilliant. There might even be a phoner at some point.
All right.
Do it.
Well, there's your Daily Takeaway. Mentioned at the beginning about bumping into people.
Yeah.
I should share with you the person that I bumped into that still blows my mind.
Yeah.
My dad.
You bumped into your own dad?
I bumped into my own dad. Now, that might sound quite underwhelming, but let me tell you the circumstances. I'd finished work and I was heading home for the day and I walked out of Soho, up Carnaby Street, to Oxford Circus. All locations that whether you live or don't work in London, you know it's busy, right?
Yeah.
Down underground, onto the tube, down the escalators, waiting on the Victoria Line. Tube pulls in. Get onto tube, sit down, bag by my legs and just relax. I'm like, oh, okay, right. Head home, get home. Open my eyes, seat right in front of me on the tube, it's my dad.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. So if you think about the chances of it, I've left
London. Did he not say anything, though? He sat opposite you? Is he not?
Honestly, both of us just looked at each other for about 10 seconds.
That's
as if
so
to
weird.
Say, this is just so weird.
It's like an awful Black Mirror episode.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Like, oh, it's just because, oh, that's a strange coincidence.
And then I'm thinking, why are you going north when I'm heading south? But
I said, well, you've said before, on, actually not on this show, but you have said before when you've offered to your dad to have find my phone put on his phone, he's not interested
in
it.
He's never interested.
I think there's a little red flag, but I kind of admire him for it.